2 days ago, I had what may have been my most, probably one of, if not the most, impactful sessions with a client. It was, I think maybe perhaps the most skillful work I've ever done. From my own perspective, like when I look at that, I was, it's very rare. I mean, I have very good sessions often, with clients, but this was one where I immediately, like, and I almost never do this. I went through the recording, I just read the whole transcript, because I really wanted to capture as best I could what happened, what I did, the effect it had, because it was just, it feels to me like it was a masterpiece. The session was with someone I've been working with for quite a while, over a year, and he was in tears afterwards, and it was, tears of relief, tears of relief. And someone who is typically very compartmentalized, not so in touch with emotion and feeling, especially when we started working together. And it was just, there are so many parts of it that I feel like were very well done. And I'm just going to take you through them. This could be very helpful if you were a practitioner. You're actually coaching, listening to people, a therapist. It's also very helpful. It could be very helpful if you're just someone who likes to work on him or herself to understand, in a really nuanced and clear way how the psyche works, how to unpack what seemingly is a surface level issue and go to the core. What was interesting about the session is that it could have been handled in so many ways. I mean, it was just dealing with someone who's going through a lot of different things changing in life, all good, but all happening at once, just feeling somewhat overwhelmed. It could have been dealt with on the practical level. I could have been dealt with just helping him be present, relax. Like, I could have gone about this in so many other ways that would have probably left him feeling satisfied with the meeting. But this one took an entirely different path. It went incredibly deep and was incredibly healing. Incredibly healing. He felt it. I even felt it. So I'm going to take you through step by step what happened, so you can kind of ride along in the journey of what this was. It was absolutely fantastic. It was incredible. So how it started, just to set this up, is like I said, there's a lot going in life, a lot of good things, but just a lot going on with family, a lot going on with, I don't want to get into the details of his private life, but just a lot going on, but all good, like nothing. So I asked him, how do you feel? And he's like, I'm kind of feeling somewhat underwater. And I'm like, is everything okay? Is, your wife okay? Your kids okay? Is this okay? Is that okay? He's like, yeah, everything's fine. I'm just feeling underwater. And right away, I kind of responded a little bit sharp, and I was like, well, then you're probably just not taking care of yourself. Like, if everything is going right and everything is going well, and you're feeling underwater, then you're probably just not taking enough time to take care of yourself. And he's like, yeah, you're probably right. And then we went through the details of, the schedule is, why the schedule is so hard and why the schedule is difficult, this, that, and the other. But I asked him, like, what is really, what's going on here? Like, why, you can just drop things for an hour or two if you need to. If you feel this way, just let it, like, just take a couple hours, like, take a break. And And he said that, it's hard for him because he feels like, he's got all these responsibilities, all these things to take care of, not enough time. Like, how could he take an hour away from the things that he needs to do? So I said also that it feels somewhat that you feel almost guilty or irresponsible by doing that. And he said, yeah. And so this is where I became convinced, or I had a hunch, a strong hunch, that there was a need, there was an opportunity here to go deeper. And so now, before I did that, I needed to make him aware of this, and to some degree, I think, get his permission to, instead of addressing the surface level issue, the immediate relief that he wanted, to actually go to the root of the problem. Because what I began, what I'm seeing at this point is I'm seeing that he feels underwater because a lot's going on, which is normal. But the reason why I felt he's feeling underwater is because he's not taking enough care of himself. And that's not by chance. At this point, I don't think it was by chance that he's just gotten so distracted with everything going on that he forgot. I think that he knew that he needed to take care of himself, but he wouldn't do it because the presence of so much to do makes him feel guilty for taking time to himself and irresponsible. So even though logically, if he took time to himself, he'd be more productive, he has a hard time doing it because there's a feeling of guilt and being irresponsible by taking time off when there's so much to get done. To me, that means that this situation, and I told him, I think that this situation is, in many ways, this overwhelm that you're feeling now is not the root. And he was saying that, at first he was trying to not really be defensive, but to somewhat say that, this is unusual. I don't usually get this overwhelmed. I usually can juggle a lot of things at the same time, no problem. And I said that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but and there's nothing wrong with feeling that way because there's so much more going on now. So I don't see that as the issue. Even though that's what you're experiencing, that you don't want to feel. You don't want to feel overwhelmed. You don't want to feel underwater. Usually you handle things so well that you don't have to feel that way. But I said, I don't think that that's an issue at all here. I think the issue is simply you didn't take time to rejuvenate yourself because there's a guilt there. And, I said, as long as I've known you, you've taken care of yourself, but there has been always somewhat of a resistance to take care of yourself that was hard to put the finger on, but was somewhat there. We never really went into it because it never really got in the way. But now, because you have so much more going on, the level of guilt that you feel has increased to take time off to yourself. And because now you're taking less time off to yourself when you need it the most, and now you feel underwater. So now seems like a ripe time to figure out what is really causing this guilt and feeling irresponsible. And so at that point, I got his permission to delve into, instead of just trying to help him relax and feel okay, to really delve into the deeper issue and go more into, what is really imbalanced. So, I mean, he feels. At this point, I think it was a little bit, I would say, daring is a little bit strong of a word, not that much, but somewhat daring that when he was in a state of feeling somewhat dysregulated, I was challenging to him to go into a place where could cause more dysregulation, could cause more things to stir up, would be a place of deeper unrest inside of him. And a credit to him that he was open and willing to go there, because he's like, okay, we can look into that. And so we've been working together for a while. I already in my mind knew where I thought I wanted to take this. I wanted to use a tool where you'll see more of what happened, but I wanted to use a particular tool called a dialogue, a re have an actual dialogue with the emotion that is inside of him. But that happens to be the most, it is one of the most powerful ones, but it also can be most intense. And so I typically only use it once. This one for sure, I make sure to get permission and really check in with the person before I use it because it can be quite intense. So, and it was. So I asked him first, do you have any idea of what tool we've been working together for a long time? Do you have any idea of what tools you would want to use to delve into this? And just to pause here because I want to make sure it's relevant to a listener, especially to a listener who's trying to work on themselves. The way you can use this for your own growth and development is to take some time when you're in a situation where you feel uncomfortable, you feel underwater, you feel somewhat dysregulated, to begin to explore a little bit deeper why you're in the place that you're in. Because the easy answer is you'll say whatever is going on in your life is causing it. But if you see that there are things that you could do, if you exercise better, if you ate better, if you slept better, all things that you could still do, even though you have a lot going on, and if you would do them, you would function a lot better. Then you need to ask yourself, why are you not doing those things? What's really going on? What feeling comes up? And if you can find the feeling that comes up, thoughts, the feeling, the story that comes up in your mind as to why it's hard for you to do whatever it is that you know you need to do, that then becomes ripe content for deep work and an opportunity to be thankful for the current stressful situation you're in because it's highlighting something that's been a nagging issue probably for years. And now, because it's coming up to the surface, you can work through it. So at this point, getting back to the story. So at this point, I'm asking my client, what is it exactly that you want to work on? I mean, what tool do you want to use? You know the tools we've been working together for over a year. What tools would you like to work on? And we kind of went back and forth talking about a different, getting clarity on what he was meaning, which tool he was talking about. And at some point, he was like, I asked him, why do you think the key sentient? It could be any one of these two. I said, well, what do you think this one will give you? What do you think this one will give you? Which one do you prefer? And he kind of gave his understanding of what he thought each one would do. But then he was like, what do you think? I'll trust you on this. So again, this is another situation where I waited for his permission. I didn't want to rush him anywhere where he didn't yet feel ready. So I was like, yeah, I think that we should have the dialogue. We should do that. He's like, sure. So I helped him get present in his body, just relax a little bit. So this actually is the part where helped him just for the first time to just actually actively engaged in helping him calm down. And then so I said, now that you're present in your body and calm, when you think about taking a break to yourself and you feel that sense of being irresponsible, like what happens? What do you feel in your body? So when he said he feels a tension in his chest. So I asked him just to sit with that for a few moments. And this is where I'm not going to, now is not really the time to explain the technique so much, but you will get what the technique is and how it works just by following along with the story. So I asked him, if you were to imagine this feeling that you're feeling inside of you right now, the tension in your chest, if it was to be somewhere in the room, if it was to take on a personality, a persona, where would it be? What does it look like? And where would it be? What is it doing? And he said, it's right in front of me, standing over me and pointing its finger at me. And I said, what does it look like? And he said, it looks like the character Jafar from Aladdin. I hadn't seen Aladdin, so I Googled Jafar and I saw it was this very tall, serious, mean-looking kind of figure with like finger pointing down at him, saying, come on, you can do it. Like, why aren't you? So at this point, I asked him to step into that character. So what he's now going to do, and this is why it's an intense technique, and it requires skill both from the person who's guiding it and also from the person who's being guided, needs to somewhat get used to this kind of work before really diving into it. At least learn how to feel, be more present in the body, feel body sensations. Because now what he's going to do is he's going to embody this character. He's going to step in. So he's actually getting up from his chair and turning around, walking a step forward, turning around, and assuming the same body position, what he visualized of this Jafar character, pointing down now at himself, imagining him, he's pointing down at himself. Who was sitting in the chair. And now when I'm talking, I'm speaking to this character in him. I'm having a conversation with this persona inside of him, not with him as the entire person. That's what allows this technique to accomplish what it's designed to do. Because it allows us to, in for a few moments, have a full-on real conversation with an isolated part of a person's psyche. And that has the ability to create tremendously profound shifts in a person and bring about integration and connection where before there was a lot of disconnect and tension. So here, even just to recount the story of this session, I'm already feeling, I'm getting into it and I'm feeling what it was like. It was incredible. It was amazing. So now I'm having a conversation with Jafar, and I'm saying, what are you trying to tell him to do? Here, I'm just trying to get to know who he is and what he's about. I don't yet know him. I don't really know what his motivation is. I don't know what his thought process is. I don't know what his values are. I don't know what his goal is. So this is just recon over here. I'm just trying to get an understanding of who are you and what are you about? And so I'm just asking, what do you want from my client? What do you want from him? Basically what I get from the answers is he really just wants him to be most productive. And he's got no issue. He actually wants my client to take care of himself. So I asked, like, if he, because I was asking, what should he do? He said, well, he should get up early and he should take care of himself and work out and do what he needs. I'm thinking, but what about the days where he was up late and he couldn't get up early? What if he realizes in the middle of the afternoon that even though he has a lot to do, he needs time to take care of himself? What should he do then? And Jafar was like, yeah, he needs to take care of himself because that's what he needs to do in order to be able to take care of everything else. So I'm like, okay. So you want him to take care of himself when he needs to. You want him to listen to his body. And he's like, yeah. So now I'm trying to think, one second. In my mind, I'm wondering, my client wants to take care of himself. He's not taking care of himself because he feels guilty for taking the time off when he should be doing other things, when he thinks maybe he should be doing the other things he needs to take care of. I ask him where this guilt is coming from, what he feels, and it's this tension in his chest. I ask him, what does that represent to you? And it represents this Jafar character. But this Jafar character also wants him to take a break. So why isn't he taking a break? And so at that point, it's a puzzle. And that happens sometimes in these conversations. It's a bit of a puzzle. Now, it could be the answer could be one of two things. It could be that even though we try to figure out who this character is and where this resistance to taking care of himself is coming from, It could be that it's just not working. He either hasn't really embodied where the resistance is coming from, or he is embodied. So maybe he is embodying something, but it's not where the actual resistance is coming from. It just happened to be something else that was coming up for him in the moment. Or it could be that he's not really embodied. Like he's in his attempt to embody this character, he's giving answers, but they're not really coming from this energy that he's trying to embody. He's forcing the answers, meaning he's not intentionally being dishonest, but he's not really sharing. The character is not really sharing what it's saying. Either the character doesn't yet, the emotion doesn't yet feel comfortable expressing itself, or he is hiding the emotion and just giving answers from his mind, but he's not really sharing what the feeling is feeling. But my sense was that this was not what was going on. It felt authentic to me. And so I had a different theory as to what might be happening. I think what my theory was is that the message being delivered by Jafar was good, but how it was being delivered in the mind of my client was scaring him so much that he couldn't hear it. So I went to Jafar and I said, look, your message can this so this is what I so based on that theory, my next question was to Jafar, I think I know why he's not listening to you. Would you like me to help you understand why so that you could have a better influence over him? And I got a yes. So then I asked permission to share this idea. He said, I know my client, and I don't think he likes his being pointed to or told what to do. In fact, I've never told him what to do because I know that he doesn't like to be told what to do. He's very open to ideas. If you ask his permission about something, he will listen. But he described you to me as Jafar. I don't know if you like being called that. I'm like, do you like being called Jafar? And he said, well, I like the certainty of it, but no, I don't like that he calls me Jafar. I said, and do you know that when he looks at you, he sees that you're pointing a finger at him? And I don't think he likes that either. And he's like, and Jafar's like, oh, okay. I said, so Jafar, like, what should I do? I said, well, instead of pointing a finger at him to tell him to take the break, to take care of himself, why don't you, would you be open to trying to give him a hug? That was the idea that I had. And Jafar was like, I guess I could do that. I mean, I don't really want to, but I guess so. So okay, so try it. So now as Jafar, he's leaning over and hugging his imaginary self that's still sitting in the chair. And I said, how did that feel? He's like, actually, yeah, that felt better. That felt better. You know, just to hug him and say, yeah, you can do this, you got this, you can take care of yourself and get everything done. It's gonna be okay. I was like, okay. And so what's coming up for you now? And Jafar was like, well, I don't know. It's like hard for me to trust. Like when I tell him what to do, it's like more authoritatively, it's like he's gonna get it done. But when I just give him a hug and say you can do it, like it's hard for me to trust that he's actually gonna do it. And I said, well, you don't necessarily need to just tell him once. If you ask his permission and if you say, hey man, like I see you're having a hard time, like can I help you? Would you like some help? Like, I know him. He's usually very open. Just remind him, say, hey, like, take care of yourself and you'll get more done later. Like, it's gonna work out better for you if you take the time. And Jafar was like, oh, okay, I can do that. And at that point, we felt that the conversation had settled. You know, and so my client, you know, removed himself from the embodiment of Jafar, sat back down in his chair, and then he told me that, you know, he says to me, like, you know, I just feel something right now releasing, like, and he just sat with his head inside of his hands for a couple minutes, and I just sat there quiet. I wasn't sure whether he was just resting, processing. I somewhat suspected he might be crying, but I wasn't sure because I've never seen him cry before. He's not the type. And then when he picked his head up and I saw him wiping off the tears, I'm like, Whoa. Congratulations. Part of doing a session like this, well, I think a very important part of it is what I was taught is afterwards the integration, becoming aware of what happening, discussing, what was going on there. And so we had a conversation about, the moments, the highlights of that session and what it meant to him. But a few things that came out of that conversation was, first to be embraced, the idea of being hugged instead of being having pointing a finger at, it was a completely different way of him experiencing motivation. And he said, like in the past in his life, whenever he needed to motivate himself, it was always with this kind of, in his words, this David Goggins kind of, beat myself up kind of mentality of really push and work harder. And he always felt that, while it worked, it was always unsustainable. It was a new thing for him to experience motivation coming in the form of compassion. You can have motivation in the form of like hard, tough, tough love, like, or even, somewhat of a masochistic kind of like a motivation. There's always a place for some things, that everything has its place and its time. But to actually experience motivation in the form of compassion and lovingness, he said was a new thing for him and something that he said would really change how he was as a father, because he felt like, his wife is much more of the emotional type, much more of the crying type. He doesn't, I mean, he said this is maybe the third time in his life that this happened to him. So it was pretty incredible, to come out of a session where, it wasn't like something emotionally traumatic was going on. It was just regular overwhelm in life. So through that, to uncover and have someone have, not maybe not a once in a lifetime experience, somewhat of a once in a lifetime experience, but like, one out of 3 times in a life experience was pretty amazing. But he felt that it would really, really impact his ability to also be compassionate to the kids, that it wouldn't just be on his wife. That instead of when the kids have a problem, he's like, well, you just got to do this, you got to do that. It would be more, embracing them. You can do this, it's going to be okay. He really felt that experiencing that inside of himself could really shift how he functions as a parent. Because now he'll be more compassionate within himself, and that way of being will be, the words that he used was like, you tripped this wiring in my brain. Like, I've never experienced being motivated in a compassionate way before, and like in a good way. Like, he felt like the wiring in his brain had been tripped. That those were his words. That was one thing that came out of it. Realizing that, the idea of asking for permission, the consistent in the session of asking him for permission, asking Jafar for permission, and then having Jafar ask him for permission to feel, the how to feel the importance, and in a way how agency, asking permission, is a really sacred skill in relationship. Not just in relationship between one person and another, but relationship between a person and within themselves. Sometimes within ourselves, we beat ourselves up, we control ourselves. When you don't ask someone for permission, in essence, you're manipulating them. You're controlling them. Like, if I had just pushed my client into this exercise before he was ready, that would have been somewhat manipulative. At every step of the way where I saw there was a need to ask for permission, I did. Within him, I asked Jafar for permission. I got a Jafar to ask him. This idea of asking for permission, really, really sunk in a much deeper way. And he could see how that would be useful to him within himself and even in business and in conversations with people all the time. The third thing that he wasn't necessarily so aware of, which I highlighted to him, was it seemed to me that the reason why he was crying, was because my suspicion was he had never had a time or a place in life where while he was being rebuked or feeling down on himself, someone came in and stood by his side and argued his case for him. And that was the role that I think I played in this dialogue that was important, and really impactful. And I felt it. I could feel it in me. I could see it in him. Because when Jafar was pointing the finger at him, and I was saying, you know, he's a pretty open-minded guy. He just doesn't like when you point your finger at him. He'll listen, but you're just making him freeze when you talk to him like that. To have someone advocating for him in a moment where he's feeling down or bad on himself and he's getting rebuked, was a shift, was something new that he hadn't ever experienced. It didn't seem like he had really experienced before. And when I pointed that out to him, he acknowledged it, and then he really, yeah, there was a meeting of the eyes and the minds at that moment. And so, you know, I've definitely had, you know, that kind of really summed it up. A afterwards, he asked, how do I put this into practice? What do I do, practically? How do I solidify it? So, you know, how do I actually make sure that I'm more compassionate with myself? How do I actually really make these changes more permanent? And I said, the first thing I said is that, like, this conversation was real. Like, you're sitting in your hands letting out tears afterwards. This wasn't an intellectual dialogue and a discussion. So a lot of what needs to be done has already been done. Like, this will shift you. These conversations, that's why they're so powerful, is that they're not reliant on the work that you do afterwards to have an impact. They will have an impact. That's the first thing to know and to be aware of. You know, it's not like you go to a doctor and you get a diagnosis and now you have the diagnosis, but now you haven't taken care of the, like, this wasn't a diagnostic. Like, this was an actual, like he said, the wiring was tripped. There was new connections made and different connections made that weren't made before. And so there would be a difference automatically. That was the first thing that I assured him. And the second thing was that, take the highlights of this experience. Being hugged by Jafar, asking permission, you know, the parts of this that were really impactful, seeing in a moment of rebuke someone come to your side and advocate for you. So now you can do that for yourself, and not be thrown. So, you know, in a moment of not be really thrown off and shut down when you experience a moment of disappointment in yourself, but to learn how to recover from it. And really listen to yourself and move in a positive direction as opposed to getting frozen or spiraling in a negative one, right? So rehearsing the moments of the session would be definitely would allow you to go back to the feelings. So I was explaining that would allow if you review these memories, you'll go back to the feelings, and the more you go back to the feelings, the faster and the more integrated they'll. It'll be for you, within reason. You don't want to overdo it. So yeah, so that was it. I mean, this was, I still can't exactly put my finger on why, to me, this is one of the favorite sessions that I've ever had with a client. It probably because I feel personally connected to the issue and the topic at hand, having an inner critic myself. I think it was, even just to facilitate it, was probably very healing for me, but also the way it was handled, I think there was many different moments in this meeting where it could have not gone in the direction that it did, and it felt that the direction it went in was just perfect, like exactly what he needed. Hit so deep, gently hit such a deep place, and helped him in a moment where he was in a situation in life where a lot of things are going well, but the stress can somewhat get to a person and not let someone appreciate all the good things that are happening because there's just so much. And really allow him in those moments in life to experience such a deep such a deep experience of healing and of self-compassion and love. It was, I guess, in many ways, embodied the essence of this work that, that I do, and why it's been so meaningful. So I mean, whether you facilitate these kinds of conversations with people, or you're just someone trying to listen and to this to learn how to grow within yourself, these type of inner dialogues, they are doable within oneself. Like I do them within myself. I've done them within myself. It's not necessarily easy, but I think it's incredibly important, and this is what I try to teach all my clients to do, is to take the dialogues that we're having and try as much as you can to have them within yourself to increase your ability to go deeper, ask more, sit compassionately with what's coming up for you, and just be with it and play with what's going on. I mean, a lot of this was just was play. I mean, it was just, two adults imagining Jafar, asking Jafar instead of pointing a finger to give a hug. I mean, this is just, this was curious. It was playful. As serious as it was curious. It was also playful. There's an immense opportunity to heal and to do incredibly impactful inner work. Just simply listening. Just listening. I mean, these tools are just tools. The main skill is sit with yourself and just listen. Listen to what is happening. Listen to what you're telling yourself. Just start with it and just go on a ride with it and allow it to take you where it wants to go. And it will often, end up leading you to really, really good places of healing and self-awareness. And the more you practice, the more you do it, the more you treat it, take it one step at a time and just treat it like something that you're doing to improve, to enjoy, to just be with yourself without asking for an immediate result or impact that you can measure. The more patient and kind you are with the process of dealing with it, the better you'll get over time, and it's just going to become easier. It's going to become deeper, more meaningful, and will change your life. Will definitely change your life for the better. So, all the best, and I hope you enjoyed this, and good luck with everything that you're working on yourself.